The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, that's good. Hear Joshua way up there pray. You know, when I get to heaven, I'll be able to do that, and that'd be neat. Take your Bible and go back to Acts chapter 14. Look at verse 21 and 22, please. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, and when they had preached the gospel to the city, and he taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and the Bible says Iconium, and it says to Antioch. Now watch this. It says in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that they must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what is this talking about? Here is the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was not the type of person that would lead people to Christ. If you would, we have follow-up cards here. We do a paper trail with people we lead to Christ. That way we can follow them up and love them and try to get them in discipleship training or try to get them in an adult Sunday school class or a teenage Sunday school class or whatever the case may be. But now, he was not the type of person that would lead somebody to Christ and fill out a follow-up card, if I may say so, and then just walk on. He had a burden to be able to go back and to follow them up, he himself. Hours, if I may remind you, after he was stoned at Lystra, you'll see that he rises up and he goes over to Derbe and he begins to preach. But he did not forget those people that was at Lystra, the place where he was persecuted. So what did he do? After being at Derbe, he returns to Lystra. And he returns because he has a burden in his heart to be able to help those that once received Jesus Christ as Savior. From Lystra, if you know your Bible, he backtracked and he went back over to Iconium. And then from there, he went from Iconium over to that which is Antioch. Now, why did he do that? It wasn't that people need to be saved again. No, our Bible is clear. Once saved, always saved. Amen. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. It does not say he that hath the Son and never sinneth hath everlasting life. Does not say he that hath the Son and is baptized has everlasting life. No, eternal life is in the Son of God. And so through Jesus Christ, you and I can be secure in Christ. For somebody to say that a person cannot be secure in Christ, they're doubting that which is the everlasting power of God the Father. Can I tell you, you're not saved by your own merits, nor can you keep your salvation by your own merits. It is upon that which is Jesus Christ that our salvation rests. And by receiving him as Savior, he is the hope of glory. Now, we understand that. But we also understand this, that once a person gets saved, they need help. Matter of fact, the Bible calls them babes in Christ. They need encouragement. They need support. They need somebody that will give them instruction, yea, somebody that will ground them. Sunday before last, we saw an enormous driving crowd of 500 or so, and our buses was up, and it was a great day. We saw over 20 people that followed the Lord in baptism, and it was a great day with kids coming home from camp that had made decisions of receiving Christ, and many walking the aisle that day receiving Christ and following the Lord in baptism. Just a wonderful, wonderful day. But can I tell you, that's when the work really starts. Because once a person gets saved, we are supposed to confirm them as believers, as the Apostle Paul was confirming those disciples in the faith. Now, what does that mean to confirm them? It means to shore them up. It means to help them. It means to establish them in the faith. Now, I want to preach tonight for the time that we have together on a caring Baptist church. I hope that we will always be a caring Baptist church. Now, how is it tonight that we can be named among the brethren, yea, named among those that's in our surrounding society as a caring Baptist church? Let me give you some things that we need to always do in being named as that caring Baptist church. Number one, we need to seek the lost. We need to seek the lost. So go after people and give them the gospel. Give them an opportunity to be able to understand their need of receiving Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 9, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, okay, but that all should come to repentance. And so the Bible teaches here that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord is not the one that is short-handed. He's not the one that is slothful, if you will, but yet he's long-suffering. To usward, the Bible says, and he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so God wants everybody to be saved. He said he's not willing that any should perish. You know, I've said it often, that the hell is not prepared for those that are individuals. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. So it wasn't prepared for a human. It wasn't prepared for you and I. It wasn't prepared for people that live in our neighborhoods. It wasn't prepared for people that live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It wasn't prepared for people that live in Texas, yea, the United States, or another country. It's prepared only for the devil and his angels. And that's how come God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God wants us to be able to go out and to be able to tell people the good news that Jesus Christ saves. And one thing that's a remarkable difference between a church that believes and practices the Bible and a church that does not believe nor practice the Bible, I believe that a church that understands the true sincerity of that which is God giving us a mandate to get out the gospel, that church will rise to that occasion. Now, I'm not saying that everybody in the church will. Some people are a little bit timid and shy. Some people might be not the ones that would pass out a gospel tract or even to leave it there at a car wash or leave it someplace else. But can I tell you, for those of us that see that and we have that, we ought to desire to do that and to be able to get that good news out and to share that gospel. Napoleon had lost the battle at Waterloo. When he lost the battle at Waterloo, here's what happened. He went into the tent and he gathered those men against him, around him. And as he gathered those men around him, he drew a red dot. And he said, I would have conquered the known world if it wasn't for that red ink that is right there. Well, you know what? I believe that the devil gathers all the imps of hell, and I believe the devil would say, I could conquer the entire world if it wasn't for that red dot, yea, that red blood that the Lord Jesus Christ did shed for us. Can I tell you, we ought to be glad tonight that we're saved. We ought to be glad tonight that we come to an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire and brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. There's nothing like being in this type of church in all of the world. Why? Because we're saved and we know that we're saved, but yet we're not supposed to just sit around and being saved and, if you will, not doing anything for Jesus Christ. We ought to decide that we love God enough to be able to go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in so that they can hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Statement number one, we ought to be soul winners. That is, we ought to decide that we're going to go out and seek the lost. Statement number two, we need to have the assurance of salvation ourselves. Now, can I tell you, I'm so glad for children, yay, teenagers, yay, college students, yay, adults that need to settle it. I'm so glad about that. But can I tell you, the Bible does not say that you must be born again and again and again. It's not a perpetual state of being. It's one time birthed into the family of God. And so when I receive Jesus Christ, now by the way, I might not always feel married, but I am. I might not always feel happy, but I get up in the morning. I might not always feel like eating. I take that back. I've never felt like I didn't feel like eating. But I eat. I might not always feel like coming to church, but I go. I might not always feel like singing the songs of Zion, but I do. I might not always feel like shaking the neighbor's hand, but I do. I might not always feel like speaking a spoken word as apples of gold of encouragement and help, but I do. Now, can I tell you, listen to me tonight, once a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, you might not always feel saved, but if you have received Christ as Savior, can I tell you, you are. The Bible says over in John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse 36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Once you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, now can I tell you, okay, Brother Craig, you stand up and you're my daddy tonight, and so I'm your son, and all of a sudden I do something against my daddy. Now, listen to me. I don't lose sonship.
Right.
When I do something against my daddy, I don't lose sonship. Now, it might hurt my relationship with him. He might have to scold me. He might have to spank me. He might have to send me to my room early. He might have to do some type of punishment, but I'm always going to be the son of my father. I'm always going to be the son of my daddy, all right? And that's the same way it is with salvation. Right. Once you're saved, and you can't get out. I mean, years ago, I was a youth pastor in Hattiesburg, Mississippi for 8 years. 8 years, youth pastor, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I never forget Karen Badger. Never forget. She listens to the podcast. She'll hear what I'm saying tonight. Never forget Karen Badger. And Karen Badger, she came to my office, and I led her to Christ a couple weeks prior. And she came to my office, and she was so upset. She said, I'll tell you what, I want to give it back. I said, give it back? What in the world are you talking about, Karen? She said, I'm tired of being saved. I want to give it back. And I said, Karen, it's the only time in my life when I told somebody they couldn't give it back that they were upset. And she said, no, I don't want to be saved anymore. She said, before I got saved, I didn't have any trouble. Now I got saved, I got all the trouble in the world. And she said, I just want to give it back. I said, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Now, can I say that God wants us to be able to help people come to know Christ as Savior. I'm talking about a caring church that runs buses. I'm talking about a caring church that sends missionaries. I'm talking about a caring church that takes missionary trips. I'm talking about a caring church that passes out gospel tracts. I'm talking about a caring church that has many soul winning programs. I'm talking about a caring church whereby you pray for the lost to come know Christ as Savior. I'm talking about a caring church that has a desire for people to come to a place where they can understand their need of Jesus Christ. It's not a game that we're playing. Hell is real, and heaven is real, and you can make the difference in somebody's life if you'll simply rise up and do your part and get the gospel out to the ends of the earth. Statement number one, how is it that we can be a caring Baptist church and have a need, if you will, to reach the lost? How is it that we can be a caring Baptist church? You have a need to give people assurance. Give people assurance. Spend time with them. Talk with them about the Word of God. Let that be your mainstay talk with a new believer. Statement number next, have a need to help people be baptized. Help people be obedient to the Lord through the waters of baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. When I first started traveling to the Philippines, I've taken over 40 trips to the Philippines and training and helping pastors and starting independent Baptist churches. And when I first started traveling to the Philippines, I found out that many of my Filipino brothers, what they were doing is they were leading people to Christ, and then they put them in a class. And then they would check them out on a continual basis just to make sure they got saved, and then they would baptize them. I said, no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. No. That's not right. You lead them to Christ, show them how to be saved. When they bow their heart, they receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and immediately after they get saved, they're supposed to be baptized. The Bible says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. It says, and the same day. So they were baptized the same day. You'll find out in your Bible, if you do a Bible study, you'll find out in the book of Acts, and in chapter 8, you'll find out there that Philip that went and told that eunuch how to be saved, that eunuch, upon receiving Christ as Savior, was immediately baptized. You'll find out in Acts chapter 16 that Lydia was immediately baptized. You'll find out in Acts chapter 16 that the Philippian jailer was immediately baptized after salvation. And I'm saying this, it is good for us to obey the Bible. You say, well, I just disagree with that. Well, don't disagree. If God puts it in the book, let's decide that God knows best and just obey the book. Amen. I'm saying tonight that they saw the need to be able to help people be baptized. I'm talking about a caring Baptist church. Stem number next. This church was a caring Baptist church also because of this. They helped people to see the need to have a church home. I was talking to a dear, family yesterday, and I think, Stephanie, you and I talked about this, too, at your place, where I said this. I said, it's one thing to have a church, it's one thing to have a family, but you need a church family, too. A church family, too, because the church family will also help. You need a place where you can plug in that you can call home. Come on. Where you can look around and you say, boy, that's my friend and that's my friend and I appreciate so-and-so and I know if I have a need, I can get somebody to pray with me about this and or something like that. Or you can go out and fellowship together, go down to Brahms and eat good ice cream. Invite somebody over your house and feed them hamburgers and hot dogs. Now, I'm talking about a place that you can call. We have a lot of activities. Tonight after church, we're going to have a men's dodgeball. Men's dodgeball. And 15 years of age and older, all the way up to 100 if you want to be. And to get out there and play men's dodgeball. And you've never seen such in your life. Those fellas will run. They'll pick up that dodgeball. They'll back halfway across the court. And they'll throw that thing as hard as they can. And sort of like a mushroom ball, you know. And so they throw it as hard as they can. It kind of goes through the air real slow. And it hits somebody and knocks them out and all. But I'm saying there's that fellowship. There's that fellowship. We just had a couples fellowship just recently, I think, at Brother Castillo's house. Is that right? And had a couples fellowship, and people went out. Hey, can I tell you? Listen, it's good for God's people to come together and fellowship. Fellowship. Amen. Don't be in such an all-fired-up hurry to get out of church. We get out of church about 7:15 or 7:30. Hey, listen, and the sermon's not all that bad. You could help me out there just a little bit. The sermon's not all that bad, but you got to be in a hurry and to peel off the parking lot and say, I got to get out of here because preacher stepped all over my toes, sit in my lap and spit in my eyeball, and he got me all upset, so I've got to leave. No, hang around. You can be just as mad at people hanging around as you could tearing off the parking lot. So hang around and be mad at people. At least they'll see your man. They'll know how to pray for you. But stick around. Fellowship with people. It gets under my skin. Can I tell you? Gets under my skin. People say, well, I don't have any friends at church. Well, of course you don't. Nobody can find you. No wonder you don't have any friends. Come to church, sit by yourself, come in late, leave early, and then you go out in the parking lot and you whine and have a self-pity party and say, well, I don't have any friends. Nobody's my friend. Well, good night. Go out and stand in the lobby and extend your hand and say, hey, shake my hand. Somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. You know, you can be friendly if you want to. By the way, doesn't the Bible say he that hath friends must show himself friendly? Amen. So if you want friends, maybe you ought to be friendly. Amen. Oh, come on. Stop looking like a sourpuss all your life. Amen. If you're saved, tell your face. Amen. Act like you're enjoying church. Amen. You know, I mean, come on. We're not in a funeral home. We are not in a funeral home. You know, the Bible does say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Talk to me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, I like it when somebody gets excited and they shout amen. You know, that's like saying, go sick them to a dog. I'm not your dog. Stop. I'm saying this tonight. I'm talking about how is it that you and I could be a caring Baptist church. Here's what we do. We see the need of the lost. Don't get stuck on yourself. Now, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, you're not that hot. Don't get stuck on yourself. Well, you know what? I'm such a good Christian. Yeah, in your eyes. And in your wife's eyes, because she's got to put up with you. But who else's eyes?
Well, it's not a good sermon tonight.
I'm saying tonight, have a care for the loss. Care for the loss. Statement number one. Statement number two, have the need to give people assurance. Oh, you say preacher. You say preacher. It bothers me when somebody walks down the aisle and they receive Christ this time. And then, maybe they'll do it again. And maybe they'll do it again. And maybe they'll do it again. Well, instead of talking bad about them, why don't you talk to them? Why don't you spend time with them? I mean, if you've got a heavy burden, let your burden be acted out in your responsibility as a believer. I know that was a lot of words just to say, go help them. So as a caring Baptist church, here's what we do. We have a need to get the gospel out to the lost. We have a need to give assurance. We have a need to help people be baptized. I do wish that after I got saved, July 24th, 1979, 8:35 at night, Reese's Carnival Ground, Westminster, Maryland. A teenager led me to Christ out of Dr. Shelton Smith, my first pastor, out of his church. I thank God for that to my day of my living. But I didn't get baptized till later. Now, the reason I did not get baptized till later is I didn't know you were supposed to do that. Now, it wasn't the preacher's fault. It wasn't anybody else's fault. It's just the fact that I was ignorant. And I just did not know. Now, one thing that we try to do is to help people once they get saved. We help people to be able. Now, why? Because you look at God's batting order. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Then it says, baptizing them. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Then it says, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever command you. And though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So God's divine order is salvation, baptism, then growth. So if I get saved and I don't get baptized, I'll never grow like I should. It's like playing baseball. You hit the ball, you run the first base, second base, you skip third base, and you still don't get a run. You can't claim it. And by the way, when you get baptized, what you're saying is, I claim that I'm saved. You claim it. When you go down into the waters of baptism, you're saying that I believe that I got saved, and I, the baptismal formula is talking about, that you're buried with him in the likeness of his death, and you're raised into newness of life. Amen. Jesus died for us on the cross. When you walk in the baptismal pool, it shows that you believe Jesus died for you. When the man of God puts you under, you believe Jesus is buried for you. When a man of God raises you up, you believe that Jesus rose for you. It's an identification. Just like you're identifying if you work at Walmart by wearing the vest, or you work at McDonald's by wearing the uniform, or you work down at Burger King by wearing the uniform. Hey, let's not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm saying tonight that having a caring Baptist church involves seeing the need to reach the lost, seeing the need to give assurance of salvation, seeing the need to help people be baptized, seeing the need for people to come to church and to fellowship together inside of the church body. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, and let your conversation be without covetousness. The Bible says, and be content with such things that you have. It says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so inside of the church, you can find a friend. Amen. Dr. Hiles used to say, blessed is the man that has a friend. More blessed is the man that can be a friend. So be a friend. You say, well, I'm being a friend to them, but they're not friendly. Look, I tell you what, that door to the back of your house, if that dog just keeps scratching and keeps scratching and keeps scratching, it's going to get your attention eventually. We were out walking the other night. Mrs. Wells, I, and Rebecca, we decided to walk the neighborhood. Now, we didn't do nothing to this dog. But all of a sudden, we got about a block and a half from our house, and here comes this little bitty dog. Little bitty dog. We walked a half a mile down. We're going to walk a mile that night. We walked a half a mile down, and that little bitty dog that followed us only a block and a half from our house followed us a half a mile down and followed us a half a mile home. And I told my wife, I said, okay, we got to get a plan. We got to get in the house. We don't want to take that dog in the house. So I said, I forget what we did, but we conspired together, and we got a plan. We got inside, and as soon as we got inside, that little bitty dog went to that front door and started scratching. You said, what'd you do? Nothing. My dear wife looked at me, and she said, oh, that poor little puppy. I said, ignore the puppy. It's not our puppy. All right? And now, wait a minute. But did you know if she was there by herself, she probably would let that puppy in, let that puppy sit in my chair, and eat my puppy chow? Because it had her attention. Oh, come on, you kids. You know how to milk your parents. We got about 70 or 80 teenagers that come here, and I've seen you. I've watched you. And you're good at it. Yeah, you are. You know? And boy, you go up and milk mom and daddy for everything you can get out of them. You will. Oh, mom and daddy, please, 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 can I have it? Please, please, please. You know, that 18-year-old boy says, please, 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 can I have it? And you're just begging, begging, begging. Now, and eventually, you know what you do? Well, you probably get it. You probably get it. You say, not my mom and daddy. Probably get it. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying everybody needs some friends. And the church ought to be an extension of that little family that you've got where you can come together. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not fighting each other. We're not against each other. We're supposed to be a church family. You're not supposed to be mad at one of the brothers or sisters that sits in this room. You're supposed to try and get along. All right? And you say, well, what if I can't get along with somebody? Okay, well, then you go get along with somebody else. There's enough people here tonight, you can find somebody to get along with. Honestly, you can. There's probably enough personalities here tonight, you can probably find a personality just like yours. I know you can find people in this room tonight that like what you like and don't like what you don't like. Because there's enough of us tonight. I'm saying there's a need for a church home. Statement number next, there's a need for hospitality. Hospitality. Now, you know, hospitality is throughout the New Testament. You'll see it. And it ought to be something that's practiced by those of us that are saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and don't miss this, fellowship. It did not say anything about the cup. Anytime it's talking about the Lord's Supper, the cup is always mentioned. And there's no mention of the cup here. You know what this is, Brother Crutcher? This is good old-fashioned Baptist fellowship. That's what that is. All right? And so fellowship, one of the qualifications of a pastor is that he is given, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, he is given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. That means the pastor and that means the assistant pastors, from time to time, they'll have somebody over their house. Go out to eat with somebody. Go share an ice cream cone. You wouldn't want Brother Crutcher eating your ice cream cone then handing it and saying, your turn. Oh, come on, I got to tell it. Yeah, Brother West, you haven't heard this one. This is a good one. Two older people at McDonald's. Now, don't go, aw, don't ruin it. It's a good one. You heard this one before? Nod your head no. Oh, it's going to be good for you. And two older people at McDonald's, and they're sitting right across from each other. And a young preacher walks in. And he notices that they split their hamburger, they divided their french fries, and so he decided he wanted to be a blessing. So he said, hey, you don't need to split your hamburger and divide your french fries. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll buy you your own hamburger, and you're your own fries, you're your own drink, and you can have that hamburger, fries, and drink right there, and you don't need to split it. It's okay. And the older gentleman said, we share in everything we do. We share in everything we do. And so the young preacher watched them, and sure enough, they were sharing. I mean, first it was the man that would, it was his turn. It was his turn. And so his wife was just sitting there, just sitting there and watching and just being very respectful, watching. And he was biting his hamburger very slow. And the young man got up, and he said, no, wait a minute. I told you, I'll buy your own hamburger. You don't have to wait on him to eat. You know, oh, she said, no, I want to. That's the way we do it. And so he went back to his booth and he sat down, and the man just kept eating his hamburger and eating his fries and drinking half of his Coca-Cola. And finally, a young boy came over and he said, "Young man, preacher," he said, no, you can have. I will buy you. They said, "No, we always share in everything we do." About that time, he popped out his false teeth and handed them to his wife. We share in everything we do. I'm talking about tonight. That ought to be hospitality. Take somebody to your house tonight and share your false teeth. Hospitality. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, the Bible says, given to hospitality. By the way, that's not talking about the pastor of the church. That's talking about believers. Oh, but preacher, I work so hard. Understand. Other people work so hard too. You're not the only one. Invite somebody over your house. Invite somebody out to eat. You won't believe this. We have a growing church, and God's been very good to us, and we're going to continue to grow. But I'm going to tell you this. Sitting in this room tonight, we have lonely people. We have lonely people. They're timid. They're shy. Maybe a little bit backward. And they come and they sit by themselves. And they twist their thumbs. And they never look up. Lonely people. And I believe that there's lonely people in churches all over America. And somebody's got to rise up to help them. You know, not everybody has your personality. Some of you have that outgoing personality. We're trying to get you to sit still right now. It's difficult. And you're just springy, you know. You're just... You know, I mean, that's you. Some of you, you know, you've got a mediocre, you know, and you're just kind of like. And some of you, we're just praying you stay awake for the next 5 minutes. But everybody has different personalities. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying offer hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 9, the Bible says, use hospitality one to another. And so be hospitable to people. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't. One reason I like Brother Walters, I said, "Hey, Doc, let me take you out to eat. Where do you want to go?" "McDonald's." So why do you like that? "It's cheap." I've asked him several times. I said, "Hey, let's go get a bite to eat. Where do you want to go?" "McDonald's." "You want to go someplace else?" "Well, if there's another one in town, we go there, I guess." Like McDonald's. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, having Caring Baptist Church, a need for hospitality. All right, you ready? And I've covered this a little bit. I want to cover it real deep here for just a moment. And be a friend. Look, take it upon yourself to look for somebody that looks lonely. Look for somebody that looks lonely. Look for them. Root them out. Be like that old groundhog dog. Root them out. And look for them. Look for somebody that looks like they're not having a good day. Look for them. Go up and try and cheer them up. Now, by the way, if you're not a joke teller, don't tell them a joke. You might force them to commit suicide. But look for somebody. Look for somebody that needs help. You said, "But you can't always judge a book by its cover, nor can you judge a person's heart by their face." Well, I know that. But it won't help for you to go on a mission just to be cheering everybody else up. So, well, what if they don't need cheering? I don't think they'll be upset with you if you cheer them up and they don't need cheering. Mike Ray and I sometimes travel together. We do a huge conference in the Philippines. Now, Brother Ray, can I tell you, you can't be somebody that is down and be around Brother Ray. Because he's going to do something to either to cheer you up or make you look stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying be that friend. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. The Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. All right? Look for somebody that looks like that their face is in duress because of stress caused by adversity. And cheer them up. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth, listen to it now, the countenance. The countenance, that's this part right here. The countenance of his friend. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, do thy diligence, it says, to come shortly unto me. Now, of course, this is Paul, he's in prison. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed, it says, into Thessalonica. And it goes on to say, he says, only Luke is with me. He said, only Luke. There's only one that stood by him that time, a doctor. And he stood by him. But don't you think that he thanked God for Luke? Sure he did. He says, take Mark. Well, he changed his opinion about John Mark, didn't he? And he says, take Mark and bring him unto thee, for he is profitable unto me for the ministry. So what was he doing? He's saying, boy, you bring that John Mark, that boy that turned coat, but he came back and he wanted to go with me, but I said no. He said, you bring that boy with you. He said, he's profitable for the ministry. All right, so you be that friend. Let me give you just one or two more. May I do it? Remember, help them to remember the goodness of God. You get around somebody that's got poochy lip disease. You get around somebody that comes to church, point them to God. Yep. By the way, use that in your everyday affairs. Amen. You know, all of a sudden you get a good sale. Here's what you say at the cash register. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I mean, use his name often. You say, well, society don't like hearing his name. That's why I said, use his name often. Amen. And by the way, use it the right way. Yeah. Use terminologies in our society like praise the Lord. Amen. Use terminologies like glory to God. Right. Use terminologies like hallelujah. Use terminologies that might be foreign to our present society. But can I tell you, there are thoughts and there's words that they ought to hear again. Amen. And put it back in their vocabulary by putting it in their hearing. All right, let me give you one last thing. Here it is. Pray. Pray for people. Pray for people. Don't leave out prayer. Pray for people. You say, well, so-and-so, they're not doing right. Have you prayed for them? Well, so-and-so, they bother me. Have you prayed for them? Well, so-and-so, they get on my nerves. Have you prayed for them? Now, you do a pretty good job Facebooking about them. Instagramming about them. Have you prayed for them? When you pray for them, call their name out and you pray earnestly for them. The Bible says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Listen to it now, that you may consume upon your own lust. And you know, I believe most people, that's the only way they pray. They're all about me. They're all about this is what I want. Then let me give you a last thought. Here it is. This is it. Disciple them. We have an adult discipleship class that meets pre-service on Sunday night, 5 o'clock to 5:45. Disciple somebody. When you die, who are you leaving behind, stay with me, that is better because you came into their life than worse because you came into their life? Disciple someone. Amen. Walk beside someone. Boy, I thank God for David Lee. Led me to Christ. He's 16, I was 18. Led me to Christ. I was a Catholic boy. And led me to Christ. And when I bowed my heart and received Christ as Savior, the very next night he called me up and he said, I got an idea. I said, what's your idea? He said, let's read the Bible together. I said, well, I got a problem. He said, what's your problem? I said, I don't have a Bible. He said, what do you mean you don't have a Bible? I said, "We Bibles are forbidden in our house. I don't have a Bible. And he said, well, how are you going to read it? I said, I don't know. You're the one called me. He said, well, let's pray that God would give you a Bible. And, I told him this. I said, I can't go buy a Bible. If I get caught with a Bible, my daddy's going to wring my neck. I can't go buy a Bible. And he said, but what if we prayed? And that way, if daddy does ever catch you, you can say, well, the Lord gave it to me.
I said, well, that's an idea.
I said, let's pray. So we begin to pray. Within 4 days, God gave me an old Scofield Bible. Still got it in my library. Old Scofield Bible. Within 4 days. And God gave me that Bible. And I still got it today. And did you know that he'd call me up every night? Every night. Every night he'd call me up. And he said, did you read your chapter today? And sometimes I said, no. I was very much in the sports. And we had long practices. And I worked at a restaurant. And so I said, no, I didn't read it. He said, go get it. I thought, what in the world for? He said, we'll read it together. You know, he challenged me and encouraged me to read my Bible. So how did he do it? Because I didn't want to read it with him. You know, every time he'd read that Bible with me, he'd read a verse and explain it. Read a verse and explain it. And his explanation would be 3 pages longer than the verse. And he'd read it and explain it, read it and explain it, read it and explain it, read it and explain it. We would spend 1 hour on the phone over one chapter that would have 16 verses in it. And I had other stuff I wanted to do. I mean, I had important stuff. I needed to eat sometime that night. And so so he called me up. And every night before he would call, I'd make sure. I'd rush through it, but I'd make sure. I read that Bible. And then he started asking me questions. He said, well, what'd you get out of that chapter? I remember verse 1 said this. And he'd help me, though. And he got my nose in the book. Now, I'm saying this. Here it is, and I'm done. Acts chapter 9, last verse I'll read, verse 26. The Bible says, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assailed to join himself with the disciples, and they were afraid, it says, all afraid of him. And they believed not that he was a disciple. You know, we get all sorts of people through here. We get common-looking people, and we get uncommon-looking people. We get business people. We have people that work in downtown Dallas. We have people that work in law offices. We have people that work at the hospital. We have people that own their own computer business. We have people that have 1,000 employees, or some have less than perhaps that one. But we have people that have great means. We have people that have moderate means. We have people that have little means. We have people that get out in the hot sun, and they work on roofs, and they put roofing on. We have people that work in carpenters' shops, and we have people that work as mechanics, and we have people that work as electrical engineers or electricians, and we have people that work in labs, and we have people here doctors and nurses and people that are in the healthcare business, and we have people that work in air conditioning, heating, and supply. But we have people that's over different parts of buildings, and we have people that's entrepreneurs here, and we have people that work in the post office here, and we have all sorts of people that are managers here of stores, and people that are guys that are over different crews that where they do work, and people that own their own businesses, massage clinics, and all sorts of businesses that they do own, where they're entrepreneurs and they sell things and they have all these things that they do. And can I tell you, we're just all different, aren't we? We have educators here. We have all sorts of people here. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you take your knowledge of the Word of God and disciple people. Don't lose your Christian perspective because you're so busy. We have a couple of young men in this room tonight. I dare say within 2 years there'll be a policeman in our city. And I'm glad about that. We need more policemen in our church. And I'm glad about that. We got young men in this room that's going to go off and they're going to start independent Baptist churches, and some of them right here in the Dallas metro, and we'll help them get their churches started. And we'll help them. We got some that's heading to the mission field, and they'll be starting churches on the mission field. I mean, our church is so diverse. with all the callings of God. We have young men that's going to be evangelists, and they're going to get out there and beat the sawdust trail, and they're going to do a good job and be an evangelist. And we have people that's going to one day they'll start, like Brother Combe here tonight, has a Bible college he started. I can see some of our young men starting their own Bible colleges in years to come and stuff like that. And we have people that work from early in the morning till late at night, and they come home beat tired, and then they go visit a bus route all day on Saturday. They don't get a day off all day on Saturday, and then they come up and they work a bus route all day on Sunday, and they give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, every bit of that is worth it.
Amen.
But in the process, don't forget to take time for people. Don't forget to treat people kindly. Disciple them. Love them. Be a good neighbor. We have people across the street from us. I live in Forney. These are older people than I am. And they have a habit. They leave their garage door open. Bad habit. And sometimes we'll go over, and if we can figure out what button, I've done this a couple times, go over in there, and I just punch the button and shut it and run. Because it's late at night. Or we'll call them up. My wife will call them, or I'll call them. I'll go knock on their front door, and we'll tell them. Now, what's that called? It's called being a good neighbor. I cannot begin to tell you how much bread Brother Walters gives us bread. You've had the blessing of getting some of the bread if you've been around here on Saturdays especially, and he'll fill those tables up with bread from some bakery shop downtown. And then we have a manager over here at Panera Bread where Samantha works, and they have worked together, and they bring all sorts of these Danishes in and stuff like that. That's how come our staff is growing in the Lord, and bring all these things in for Wednesday and Thursday morning. Our staff, they'll go in there, and you see them just eating and eating, and you see their bellies expanding and expanding. And then they come to me and say, "Preacher, I need a new suit." So we just go add to the one that you've got. But now wait a minute, watch this. So God's been good to us. That old truck, it was coming through, and Brother Israel Juarez called and said, "Hey, preacher, got a truck from North Carolina that's coming through, and it's good corn." And I said, "Well, our people like some of that corn. And bring us some." And he said, "How many do you want?" I said, "I don't know. Bring as many as you think we need." And he brought about 12 of those big old boxes like that. It was sitting outside. And I told our people, "Hey, come get some corn." And the soul winning crowd came out on Saturday morning, and they loaded up corn. And we got people that's got more corn than they've got sense. That's the blessings of God. Got a beautiful auditorium. Blessings of God. Got a dormitory built for our college students. Blessings of God. Got bathrooms that's been renovated. Blessings of God. Adding bus routes every year. Blessings of God. Starting churches around the world. Blessings of God. You say, "Well, that all sounds great." Yeah, it does. But don't forget, in your world, care for people. Be a caring person. I don't want our church. I'm like an old man now, but I don't want our church ever to be unkind. I want people to walk in this place and know they're loved. Amen. Know they're needed. Know that they don't have to be somebody special in order to fit. Because I think that's what a church ought to be like. You can make it that way if you want to.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.